living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So we're going to talk about regenerating healthy cells and tissues. As a medical doctor, I mean, this is really, really interesting to me because, gosh, imagine someday if I damage my heart, right? I have a heart attack, which still is our number one killing in the United States. How awesome is that going to be able to regenerate some healthy cells in there so my heart can repair itself beyond anything we can do today? So the promise of regenerative medicine is awesome. Now, here's what's interesting. Our cells and tissues do have the ability to regenerate, but as we get older, we lose that. And there's also some evidence that it's not just the aging process. It might be some of the things that we're doing in our environment, to our food sources. And we're going to talk about that with Dr. John Apsley. He's the author of The Regeneration Effect. And he's going to really just tell us why we lose that ability to regenerate and some of the things that we can do to get it back. Dr. Apsley, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Dr. Mike, thank you so much for this opportunity. You know, this has been my love for over 30 years, looking at what actually causes cells to regenerate and what actually causes cells not to regenerate. So we're going to talk a little bit about both. We do know from a lot of studies of 30 different groups around the world that the aging process for some of these groups really doesn't start until they're about 90 years of age. And in the U.S. population, our aging process probably starts about the age of 40. So what's the difference between an average U.S. American and someone who's living in these rather remote, environmentally pristine locations? We can actually look to downtown Los Angeles, which is one of the great exceptions. Here we have some of the longest living Americans, and they're Seventh-day Adventists, and they eat a diet that's vegetarian. And even though that they're surrounded with a lot of pollution from Los Angeles, they have had some of the greatest studies done on them that many of their aging processes are delayed until much, much later in life. And so we're looking at what are the factors there. And I did a correlation starting about 30 years ago to groups like that. And I just was looking at all the different groups. And one of the things I found was, number one, a pristine environment was almost always the rule, with this one exception. And number two, they ate embryonic food factors. They had foods that were very young, so the sprouts, eggs, dairy products, in some cases bee products, and certain ways of preparing their foods. And what I found was is that starting about 1988, when the U.S. Surgeon General became very concerned about our diet being linked to over 67% of all of our diseases, he began a new trend in our medical system to look toward diet representing our greatest benefit or threat or risk to our health here in the U.S. And then from that, we have a study that was put together through NIH and National Cancer Institute looking at cancer rates according to diet. And we have Aaron Blair, one of the great researchers in the field of environmental medicine, and he links up to 80 to 85, even 90% of all cancers are related to environmental toxicities. But right, he also includes diet in that. So what we find in our diet in terms of toxins, or what we find in our diet related to substances that regenerate our cells, is where we need to look. And then, of course, regenerative medicine springs into a third area, which is actually taking adult stem cells from a person and then taking those cells, harvesting them, and growing a new heart, a new ear, a new nose, a new kidney in the laboratory so it can be implanted. So in terms of sustainable aspects of regenerative medicine, it doesn't cost much to change our diet and to get fit fitness may be overall about 70% of the equation, as you are well aware of.
Right.
And because that allows us to make great use of our diet when we're eating the right things. And it also helps us to remove the things in us that we're not supposed to have in there.
So, Dr. Apps, let me ask you something real quick, though, because you reminded me of something. So here we have studies showing that pristine environment and diet probably play the greatest roles in longevity, which really goes against just about everybody in America, because we're not, our environments aren't clean, and we're definitely not eating the way we're supposed to be eating. Does one have more of an influence over another, or is the environment and diet kind of, is it more of like an interactive type thing where both of these are impacting how long we're going to live?
Yeah, that's the great question. I think that environmental toxins are, because they all accelerate the aging process. So what they do is they cause us to rust. And as you know, when you have a bicycle or an automobile, it's the oxidation that actually peels off the metal. Well, when we take in, let's say, toxic metals like mercury, I know that you've covered that a great deal, but also lead and the other 14 common pollutants that are in our air, food, and water, this causes us to accelerate our aging process, and it causes us to rust, and that causes inflammation. A lot of times people think of it in reverse, Dr. Mike. They think of, well, the inflammatory growth factors and cytokines cause the oxidation to occur. That's not true. Oxidation or accelerated aging is what causes inflammation, which is at the heart of all the chronic degenerative illnesses. So, yeah, if you look at babies today in the U.S., they're born with over 200 different environmental toxins in their body. And this has been confirmed by the National Academy of Sciences back as early as 1993, when they were looking at how vulnerable are we as Americans when we're born compared to an adult American. And we're 10 to 65 times more vulnerable to these environmental toxins from the get-go that allows us to accelerate our aging process. Yeah. Than these cultures that don't have that problem. So, yeah, we have to take that out of the system.
Let's move into the dietary part of this a little bit, because I think this is something that we all can really focus on. How does the lack of minerals in our diet affect my cells' ability to regenerate healthy, in a healthy way?
Okay, so if you look at what really is the cell chemistry, and we were not taught this in med school, what really causes the cells to work properly are the correct metals, like potassium, that work with correct fragments of protein that we get from mother's breast milk and also from dairy products. And they form a special relationship that then turns the water inside that cell into a highly structured hard disk for storing information and for transmitting information. This work is over 40 years long. It deals with Raymond Damodian, the MD, PhD from Harvard, who I give credit to discovering MRI. His unit was called the FONAR. And he hired two biophysicists, and they looked at what is really happening in the living cell, because up until MRIs, it was really hard for us to see what a living cell was doing. And they found that minerals was the key. Minerals, the correct minerals, made the life systems work at normal body temperature. So if you have
Dr. Ashton, let me ask you this, because we're gonna run out of time here. This is fascinating. There's so much more to cover. Is there a website that you can give right now to my listeners where they can learn a little bit more about you, what you're doing, and about the importance of minerals, say, to regenerating healthy tissue?
Yes, two places, detox.net and drapsley.com. They can go in there and learn about how to take these heavy metals out of our system, and they can learn about how to regenerate their body.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to encourage my listeners to go check that out. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.